Luke chapter 1, we are starting up in verse 26. And in this first part of this section, the Bible says that it is the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. So Zechariah and Elizabeth, Elizabeth now pregnant with John, it is the sixth month of her pregnancy, and God sends the same angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Then, picking it up in verse 28, the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." Continuing to read, the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Let me just make a quick aside to make this point, that this meeting between Mary and Elizabeth taking place in this hill country of Judea, close to Jerusalem, this is a three-day journey from Nazareth. So when the angel comes and says this to Mary, she believes the word that she has heard, and she goes over very quickly. The Bible says that she got ready and hurried to the town where Elizabeth is, and she gets there to be able to rejoice with Elizabeth. And then it describes how Elizabeth responds and the baby in Elizabeth's womb is responding to Mary coming over. And so then it continues, and in verse 46 onwards, it says, "And Mary said, 'My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble.'" Continues, "He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." And then the Bible says, Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about three more months, close to the time that John would have been born, and then returned home. Mary's song, this hymn, it's called the Magnificat, right? It's a name from the Latin term that is referring to the first word of this song that she sings, where she pours out her soul. She's rejoicing in the events that are taking place. But, you know, when you read this, her story and her song is not just about herself, but for every person who fears God and are the objects of His mercy and His grace. That's what Mary is singing about. He's saying, look at what the Lord has done for me. And there's another song of that nature. But, you know, look, she's saying, look, this is what the Lord has done for me. And I am blessed and favored of the Lord in these ways. It is His grace and His mercy that has been extended to me. So she sings and rejoices in the things of God. So this morning, I want to take a little bit of time and talk about the favor of the Lord. What does it mean for us when we say the favor of the Lord? What does it mean for us that Mary would say, or the angel would say to Mary first and foremost, you are highly favored? What does it mean for Mary to say, I've received the favor of the Lord? What does it mean for Elizabeth to say, I am favored that you have come here? The mother of my Lord has come here and is you know, I'm able to rejoice with her. What does this mean? The favor of the Lord is His demonstrated delight in us. It's where He takes joy in us. And the Bible speaks of it in these ways. And it's an amazing concept that the creator of this world, the master of the universe, the Lord of all things, the King of kings, would delight in us, would be glad to see us, would be saying, I want to lavish my love on you. I want to pour out my blessings to you. I want to show you my favor, my delight in you. And it is closely related to grace and mercy. And in fact, in Psalm 5 and verse 12, it says, surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. So there's this blessing and anointing and provision of God, but there's also this protective nature of God, this security that we have in the Lord Jesus because of His favor to us. If, you know, and we say this, oh, it was only the grace of God that didn't happen, or this happened, or I was able to go through these things. And in big and small ways, we talk about things in the workplace, in our daily lives, in the office, I mean, in our homes, just driving on the road, and we say, oh, thank God for His grace that this happened, or this did not happen. Right? And we are speaking really of the favor of God, that He would be kind and compassionate and showing grace and mercy to us in the middle of our life circumstances. So He surrounds us with favor. Now, let me make this point. Favor is not synonymous with material prosperity. We're not saying here that if the favor of God comes to you, then you become a millionaire. Right? That's not the statement. It's not synonymous with some sort of things that we would look at in the world, so that we would look at somebody who is wealthy and say, oh, it must be the favor of God. That's not the nature of it. Now, God can give all sorts of material blessings, and He does. But I'm trying to make the point to you that that's not the one-to-one relationship that we should assume. At the same time, having the favor of God doesn't mean that you avoid suffering. It doesn't mean that you don't have hard times. You can have the full favor of God, be absolutely certain that you are in the shield of His protection, and still be going through all sorts of hardship. In fact, you read the stories of those in the Bible, and especially as we get into the book of Acts, these men and women who would do things for the Lord, they went through incredible hardships, and yet they were in the favor of God. They were accomplishing things that you couldn't even imagine. They were standing before kings and going into places and seeing things happen and miracles and signs and wonders, and the favor of God was on them in the midst of all of their hardship. So the favor of God is not synonymous with prosperity, but neither does it exclude suffering. So, favor of God. But in the Psalms and in other scriptures, It also speaks to us about the fact that we can ask God for his favor. We don't just, I wish he gives me his favor. I wish he shows his favor to me. We say, Lord, I ask for your favor. I want your grace and mercy. I need your blessings poured out on me. I'm entreating you, God, for your favor. And so, you know, when we pray, when we say, oh, I'm going in for a job interview. I'm going in to get this thing done. We say, oh God, open the doors and give me your favor. The Bible speaks of having favor before men and before God. How? That we would be able to have this receive, ask for and receive this favor of God into our lives. One of the ways that we obtain that favor from the Lord is to seek his wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8 verse 35 says, for those who find wisdom, or the wisdom of God, find life and receive favor from the Lord. Now, let's come back to the scriptures that we have been just reading in Luke chapter 1 and connect that to this truth about the favor of God. First point I want to make to you is this. We don't receive God's favor by our merit. It is very sort of easy for us to look at these situations, Mary and Elizabeth, Zachariah, and so on, and then we say, oh, must be because Zachariah was such a righteous person, because he was faithful and served God. Must be that Mary was a saint. Mary was just so pure, so good, so everything right. That's why God showed her favor. Elizabeth, oh, clearly she was also serving God, faithful, obedient. That's why she received the favor. And we tend to, even without realizing it, attribute the favor of God to the merit of the person. And we say, this person deserves God's favor, this person does not. I deserve God's favor, or I don't deserve God's favor because. And we equate our behavior, or we say our behavior and our condition is the requirement for God's favor. But it is not. God's favor, his grace, his mercy, originates from him and is of him. Now he sees and he understands the heart and he knows who we are and is able to determine better than we can ourselves, that if he shows his favor to us and leads us in a specific way, that what we will do with it, whether we will abuse that privilege or whether we will take that grace and truly live out what the Lord has ordained for us. He knows that. And so he calls and he summons and he tells people and he moves us forward and all of that. But let us not assume that it's because of our goodness. You see, we have a tendency to say, oh, my sister, she didn't do the right thing. God, you know, you can't possibly show your favor to her. I have done the right thing. God, I deserve your favor. Right? But the moment we do that kind of thing, we would never, ever have seen in the lineage of Jesus and in the way in which the word is fulfilled, in the whole scripture, we would never have seen people like Rahab, the prostitute. We would never have seen people like Ruth, who was not an Israelite. We would never see people who are being brought back or brought into the line and the purpose and the plan of God. We would never see Abraham. He was an idol worshiper. His father was the one making idols. We would never see these people in the things of God if it was up to us to say, oh, it's because of this goodness that the favor comes. Instead, we have to say, Lord, I thank you that you show your favor and your grace and your mercy to me regardless of who I am. In spite of who I am and in spite of all the things that I do, I thank you, Lord, that you show your favor to me. Now, I'm not at all suggesting that you can do whatever you want and live in whatever way you want and then say, God, give me your favor. That's not what I'm saying. But we are saying, Lord, I understand it's not because of my merit. It's not because I'm so good. I come to you, Lord, and I look to you, and I rely and trust in you. So if it is not based on my merit that I receive your favor, I also have no reason to be envious of or to be judging of someone who does receive your favor. I can't be the judge of that. I simply trust you. Right? That's an important thing for us to keep in mind. Second thing is that God works his favor in our lives through the person of the Holy Spirit. When Mary says to the angel, how can this be? How will this happen? The angel's response is, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And in that one interaction, you have the Trinity presented to us. The Bible, the scriptures doesn't use that word. But you have an angel communicating the message of God and saying it will be through the person of the Holy Spirit that Jesus would be incarnated in you, Mary, and be born as a child. And so God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are clearly evident to us in this description, in this instance. And so what we have, and you keep reading through the Gospel and through Acts, the Bible speaks about the fact that Jesus does everything that he does by the power of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't separate them out like this. It shows us that we have to be people who are also receiving the work of the Holy Spirit, because it is through the Holy Spirit that God works his favor in us. It is necessary for us to yield to the Holy Spirit, to receive the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to say, Holy Spirit, you come and have your reign in me, and you work in me, and you take out from me all the things that need to be taken out, and you put into me all the things that need to be put in, so that the favor of God can flow through me, in me, to others, and make situations different, change things around. So God works in us, God works his favor in our lives through the person of the Holy Spirit. The next thing is, we are to remain humble before, during, and after receiving the favor of the Lord. One of the characteristics of Mary and of Elizabeth and of all of these folks that we would read about is their humility. They don't get puffed up to say, look at what the Lord has done. They don't say, first of all, like we talked about, they don't say it was because I was deserving that God did this. But then once God has done it, they don't say, huh, look at this. You know, they acknowledge the Lord's work in them, but continue to remain humble. They remain humble to say, it is the Lord's work. It is he who has done this. It is his will. It's not anything that I can sort of, you know, manipulate or do something with or boast about. Nothing. And so there is a humility of everyone, in every one of these people, that speaks to us and says, that humility is vitally important for us. That we wouldn't boast in and of ourselves. That we wouldn't say, oh, look at me, I received the favor of God. But that we would say, oh, God, help me. That before I receive it, when I'm receiving it, and after I receive it, whatever season you're taking me through, I would remain humble. I wouldn't get proud or puffed up in any way. I would just be humble before you. I would humble myself before you. I would bow down and receive from you. When we receive God's favor in these ways, we serve as an example to the world of what it is to receive God's grace and mercy. If there's pride, then we can't serve as an example. But when we receive the favor of God with humility, when we allow the favor of God to do things and to move things and to open doors for us and to lead us into places that we ourselves, in ourselves, could never have accomplished, it serves as an example for the world. When the world looks at us and says, how did you accomplish this?
How did you get to do this?
And again, don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about position and power, prestige, wealth. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying in any way in which the Lord would enable you to do something that is above and beyond yourself, right? And the world would notice it. And they say, how did you do this? How were you able to accomplish this? That you would be able to say, it is only because of the favor of the Lord. It is because He has shown grace to me. It is because He has shown mercy to me. I look back on my life and I was like, I'm thinking, how did I get from there to here? How did that happen? And I'm able to testify that it is the favor of the Lord. And the world around us needs to see that kind of an example. People who have received the favor of the Lord and who will testify of it in those ways and will show them that they too can receive the grace and the mercy and the delight and the favor of God. The world around you is desperate for that. The world around you is hurting for that. The world around you is eager for someone to give them a message like that. When we are messengers of God, who know who we are, abide in His presence and come with this message and commission, what is our great commission? To go tell the world that they too can experience the saving grace of the Lord Jesus. In this season, as we celebrate His coming, we are saying to the world, I have experienced His favor. Big and small ways, I have experienced His favor. Let me tell you how you can experience it too. We become an example. We are able to tell the world that Jesus is all that we are talking about. And then, when we receive the favor of God in these ways, when we say, oh God, you've done this thing, you have transformed my life, you have been kind and gracious and merciful to me, we praise and worship God that His word does not fail, that He shows His mercy and grace, and that He fulfills His promises in showing favor. That's what Mary does when she sings. When she says, oh, my soul rejoices, and I am so glad for what the Lord has done. And generations to come will call me blessed, not because of me, but because of the Lord. And she's so excited and filled with the joy of the Lord in declaring all of this and just singing to God. I don't know what kind of singer she was. I don't know. I don't know whether she sang on tune or not. I only know that she sang. Her heart just explodes in this rejoicing. I don't know if it was like, you know, she had words written, she was writing it, you know, earlier, and then she set it to music. None of that is explained in the Word of God. But you know what it says? She says, it records for us that Mary sings with joy. She glorifies God. She worships Him. She turns her attention to God Almighty and says, oh God, You are worthy of my praise. You are worthy of my worship. You are good. You are God. And that should be our response too. That way we would be able to say, oh God, as You show me Your favor, as You show me Your grace, as You lead me in these ways, as You give me Jesus, as You allow the Holy Spirit to work in me, oh God, I worship You. I thank You. I glorify Your name. You are good. You are good. That's the joy that wells up from within us. Out of the abundance of our hearts, our mouths speak. Let this be what fills our hearts in these days. The very essence and presence and grace and favor of the Lord in such overflowing measure that we can't help but say it out of our mouths. That when we speak to people, when we do things, when we go through life, we're able to express this joy, this worship. Earlier, Emmanuel was saying we need to be praying as a church for evangelism. Evangelism, and by the way, Emmanuel is, we were ordained together on the same day, but Emmanuel is an evangelist. He makes it a point to tell people about Jesus all over the world, particularly in Africa as he travels there. But you know, the way that we are able to tell the world about Jesus and to be an evangelist, to tell the good news about Jesus Christ, is only if it is overflowing out of us. It's very difficult to be an evangelist because you think that's what you should do. I better tell somebody about Jesus. Oh, it's the Christmas season. Oh, you know, in church they said, invite somebody. Talk to them about Jesus. Okay, I better do this. It'll be very difficult. It's very difficult to go tell somebody about Jesus because you think it's an obligation or a duty or some sort of pressure on you. Right? And in this season at least, I better tell them. No. Pray. Wait on the Lord. Receive His favor. Ask Him to so fill you with Himself that you can't help but tell people. That you can't help but overflow with the good news. So how do we respond? We believe God's word. Mary says, or actually Gabriel says to Mary first, this word of God will not fail. All those prophecies that have been given years and years and years ago, they will not fail. This statement that I'm making to you, that you're going to bear a child, and the child will be because the Holy Spirit comes in you, and this is going to happen, it will not fail. And Mary's response to the angel is to say, let it be to me according to your word. Because she recognizes that this is the word of the Lord. When she goes and meets with Elizabeth, Elizabeth is pregnant, 6 months pregnant, because a word had come that did not fail. A word of God that does not fail. What word has God given you? What promise are you standing on? What is it that you know God is speaking to your heart? Well, then I want to encourage you this morning. I want to remind you this morning, it will not fail. It will not fail. If it was not from God, I have no idea. I don't know. I can't tell you with certainty what will happen. But if it is from God, I can tell you, it will not fail. So what is our response? We believe God's word. We believe the word as it is written for us, recorded for us, and given for our instruction, for our encouragement, for our hope. And we believe the word of God as He uses that scripture and speaks to us directly, as we meditate, as we pray, as we speak to Him, as we listen, we believe the word of the Lord that it will not fail. Next, we yield to His working in us. We yield to the Holy Spirit. And we say, may it be to me. May it be to me as you have said. Let it be. Let it be this way, Lord. Let it be as you have said. I yield to you. And when we meet others, when Elizabeth meets Mary, the Bible doesn't record that Mary comes in with the whole explanation. The Bible says, the baby leapt in Elizabeth's womb. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. And she declares the truth of what is happening before Mary says anything. And she is discerning of the work of God in Mary. We have to be people who are so filled and so understanding, so led by the Lord, that we wouldn't just receive the work of God into our lives, but we would be discerning of the work of God in another's life, another person's life. That when we meet our brother and when we meet our sister, we could say, oh, I rejoice with you. I'm so glad. I discern that the Lord is doing this in your life and in your family and in our circumstance here. I am so glad to rejoice with you in this. We are discerning of what the Lord is doing even in the lives of our brothers and our sisters. This is how we respond. And we rejoice in God our Savior. We rejoice in God our Savior. We say, God, your joy, your peace, your comfort, your hope, oh, I just rejoice in you. I am so glad, God, for what you are doing in my life. So this morning, as a point of application, every week, I want to remind you of these truths, not just as something you hear, not just as something you learn, but as something you apply. And every week I try to say, you know, take this and do something. Do something very simple, right? It may be to pray, it may be to forgive, it may be to consider a particular thing, it may be to meditate, it may be to do something that says, okay, how do I apply this word that I'm hearing? And this morning, I'm saying to you that there are multiple points of application in saying, Lord, help me to understand your favor. Help me to pray for your favor. Help me to receive your favor. Help me to remain humble when I receive your favor. Help me to be an example to others of the grace and the mercy and the favor of the Lord. Help me to do all these things in such a way that your name is glorified. But Lord, help me to rejoice. This is a time and a season when we speak about rejoicing. We sing, as we did this morning, joy to the world. But pray that God would give you genuine joy, that there would be a sincere welling up of that rejoicing in your heart. And so as a practical application this week, I'm asking you to sing God's praise. And before you say, look, I'm not a singer, I'm not asking you to sing publicly. I'm saying go sing privately to the Lord. Sing. Just rejoice. Lift up the name of the Lord Jesus. And you know, if you don't have an expression of joy that's coming from within you itself, and I encourage you that it can come that way, find a song. There are so many wonderful songs, so many wonderful singers, so much music available. Play a music, play something, sing with it. Sing, rejoice. Tell the Lord in no uncertain terms, oh God, I worship you. I am so glad for what you have done. I sing your praises. I sing your praises. Do it. Rejoice in him this week. See what the Lord does as you do that. When you rejoice in him, I don't know, maybe break out even into a dance. You know, when you just rejoice in him, when you're driving down that road and you are singing all the way down, when you get into the office and you're speaking about things in the workplace, but in your mind and just silently you're singing. Oh, there's a song. You see what the Lord will do. You see the joy that will be working in you. You see the joy of the Lord that will be your strength. Sing. This week, sing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good and gracious in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you give us your favor. Thank you, Lord, that you worked in Mary's life, in Elizabeth's life, that you did these things in such a way that we have so much to learn from it and so much to rejoice in ourselves. Lord, we thank you that you show favor to us when we have not been deserving of it, when we have not merited it by our own actions. Thank you that you show favor. Thank you that you are gracious to us. Thank you, Lord, that you have your mercy extended to us. Father, in this coming week, I pray that we would not just receive your favor and sit still, but we would receive your favor and rejoice. Whether we do it publicly, privately, whatever, Lord, we pray that we would rejoice in you. We would rejoice in the Lord, our strength. We thank you, Lord, that that is possible by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we receive that empowering. Send us out with your blessing today, Lord, in grace and mercy and great joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.